a desire, a dream, a vision. Legendary Sports Talk, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690.
Greg Allman laid to rest over the weekend in Macon, Georgia, next to his brother Dwayne Allman. Quite the ceremony and jam after the funeral. Welcome back. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. It is game night. The rest of the series is available on the full NBC network, which means Pierre Maguire, Doc Emmerich, and Eddie Olczyk. And if you can't make it in front of your television set, you're driving around town, we have the NBC radio feed. Kenny Albert, Joe Micheletti, and Ray Ferraro. It's hour number 4 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7. Speaking of Maguire,
he's playing fantastic hockey. He is in a titanic matchup. He and Matthias Ekholm are in a titanic matchup against Evgeny Malkin, usually, but not always, Phil Kessel, and usually, but not always, sometimes Chris Kunitz and other people. They rotate the wingers around for Malkin, depending on who's going. But just to play against Malkin, that's a titanic matchup.
Pierre Maguire went on to say that he is playing perhaps the best hockey he's ever played on PK Subban. Forget everything else. Here he is every Monday off the set of the reporters in beautiful downtown Scarborough on his way to the airport. Michael Farber, how are you?
I'm terrific, Mitch. One more reason I don't live in Toronto. I've been on the road for an hour and almost 10 minutes now. And I'm still not at the airport. So we're hurrying here. I've got a well-known chauffeur named Dave Hodge. Ever heard of him?
Oh, Dave Hodge. Yeah, knowing Dave Hodge, he probably would prefer that you shut up and he can listen to some music.
Well, he'd prefer to be talking to you and discussing music than having to listen to me bloviate on your show.
No, I want to talk to you. Maybe talk to Dave before you say goodbye. But are you late for your flight?
Oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah. But, you know, I'm way too old to worry about that stuff.
By the way, the driving in Montreal, as you probably know, it's not getting better.
Well, it's the Festival du Cône. that's what we call summer. We've got all these festivals. Now we have the Cone Festival. So.
Listen, you have been to a lot of Stanley Cup finals. I don't know if you regret not being there. It's certainly an original feel to it, what we're seeing in Nashville. But it's also three games in. It's kind of bizarre.
Oh, yeah, absolutely bizarre final. We'll start with the city itself. Actually, we could be going to Hamilton right now. Because a decade ago, this miracle was about to be shipped off, packed up, and deposited not far from the shores of Lake Ontario. Even the owner bailed. He's now in Minnesota, Craig Leopold. It just didn't look like it was going to happen. David Poile had done pretty much everything he could as a general manager, and they seemed out of ideas. This whole country music business, that was right from the start. I mean, they hooked into people like Martina McBride right from the beginning. The goal song was Tim McGraw. Nashville was, and country music was, and hockey was synonymous, but it just didn't seem to work. This playoff run has given it wings. It's the chants we hear are not unique to Nashville. If you went to Yost Arena on the campus of the University of Michigan, college kids were saying this stuff 15 years ago, only the words were far more lurid than we hear now. People standing for hockey games, the first time I saw that was the 06 final in Game 7 in Carolina against Edmonton. People stood for the whole game, so I've seen that at college basketball before, in student sections almost always in the ACC. So what Nashville has done is take a lot of these really neat things, most of them collegiate and in some cases high school, and incorporate it into what the experience is.
And, of course, if the team isn't at least the second best in hockey, this doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't, because people would have moved on. I mean, Nashville's a small place. It's got a football team. It's got country music. And that's about it. So talking about the Washington Capitals needing to break through the wall, well, this is what the Nashville Predators did. And when you got a sense that this was serious goes back to the second game of the playoffs. Now, remember they beat Chicago 1-0 at the United Center, and that was neat, and they kind of hung on. In game two, they beat the Blackhawks 5-0 and went for the jugular. And that was the moment you said, whoa, this might really be something here. And credit to them. They do play a 1-3-1, but it's far more aggressive than what Ottawa plays. It's an up-tempo style, and it's fun to watch. And P.K. Subban has been great no matter what his breath smells like.
Anybody that doesn't think that P.K. Subban is contributing to this team is not watching the games. And if they are, they're watching it through rose-colored or clearly biased glasses. Clearly. You clearly don't like the guy because he's playing. He might be playing as well as he's ever played.
There you have it from Pierre McGuire about an hour ago from Nashville again on NBC. And listen, you don't hit the score sheet yourself, but you help keep Crosby and Malkin to zero shots on goal. I think that says it all.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. And I suppose we have to address the end of that game. You know, anyone who believes they're talking about breath also believes in the Easter Bunny. You know, that's not what goes on there. And PK was playing people like PK does. And it was kind of funny. And then Crosby said, no, that's not what we were discussing. And you know, Sid is a straight arrow. And, of course, that's not what they were discussing. But while we were talking about PK Subban doing that, we're not talking about the 1-for-13 Pittsburgh power play, which to me is the biggest surprise in the series outside of Pekka Rinne playing horribly for two games. We're not talking about all the other things, how well Roman Josi has played. He has become a prime, if not the primary, Conn Smythe candidate for the Nashville Predators. So, PK, I remember talking to Matthew Darche years ago. I was doing a story for Sports Illustrated, and he said, you know, if PK had to go someplace else like Nashville, it wouldn't be the same. And he just pulled Nashville out of thin air. Well, that was failing to understand that PK just brings his own stage with him. It doesn't matter where he is, and he knows how to make himself the center of attention. And this is fortunately good for his team.
Did he really say Nashville out of thin air like that?
Out of thin air. And Darche was good friends with PK.
I know he was,
Nashville,
yeah.
out of thin air. And I went back and looked at that, and I said, yeah, that's pretty funny. Because it's now in Nashville, and PK understood that.
So I got the feeling tonight, like I expected Nashville to win and get back in the series on home ice. I got the feeling tonight, with so much focus on Crosby and Malkin going shotless, with Phil Kessel having a long on-ice session with Rick Tocchet, that their main guys are going to show up tonight and be a factor.
I would expect so, and I'd expect a big performance from Matt Murray as well. Murray has been really good in bounce-back games. Remember the late game against Washington, 5-2 loss, two late goals by Pittsburgh, and really Pittsburgh looked done. There was no Letang. It looked like this team has gone as far as it should. Well, they bounced back, won that series. Same thing happened against Ottawa. That was a really, after a bad game there, the 5-1 loss, they came and Murray played great. He's got a 936 save percentage in games after losses. So I think he'll be just fine. And I expect another great game. But playing in that building is difficult. And if Rinne plays like he did in Game 3, yeah, it should be a terrific series. But you're right. It's been a very odd kind of series thus far. We starting with PK's disallowed goal where you needed a Hubble telescope to determine it was offside 16 seconds before the goal was scored. It's just seemed different than things we've seen before.
NBA Finals, meantime, they get a couple of days off before resuming Wednesday. Cleveland in obviously a must-win situation. They've been there before. However, when they were there before, they didn't have to contend with Kevin Durant The talk has started, as you know, that if they do go on to win, especially if they don't lose or maybe lose one, that this might be the single greatest team we've ever seen in the NBA. What do you think?
Well, very impressive, certainly, especially with the healthy Steph Curry, who played ring around the rosy last night in the third quarter with LeBron James. That sequence I'm sure you've seen time and time again by this point. Yeah, it's a very talented team. They play a pleasing style of basketball, reminiscent of the Celtic fast break teams of the 1960s. Bill Russell starting fast breaks. The game's different, of course, with the three-point shot. But yeah, they're really eye candy, and that's what's fun, because there have been really good teams before, but they haven't been as eye-catching as these Warriors. And you look at Curry. Last year he was hurt. He didn't have any bounce in his step. This year he does, and you're playing Durant. And this final was never going to be about LeBron James. We know LeBron James is one of a kind, maybe as good a player as we've ever seen in the history of the game. This was always going to be a referendum on what Kevin Durant could do in that spotlight, and also on the supporting cast of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and whether Kevin Love was going to be good enough, and he's been pretty good. But Tristan Thompson, the Canadian, hasn't been very good. Kyrie Irving hasn't been as explosive as we've seen him be. J.R. Smith is a cipher. So it's really been about what we've seen from Durant and what we haven't seen from the other Cavaliers.
The 1-2. Breaking ball out toward left field. Hugging the line. This one's got a chance to go. Goal! Big fly for Albert Pujols. Number 600.
Number 600 was a grand slam for Albert Pujols. Maybe the, quietest top 10 home run guy of all time?
It's bizarre, because here's a guy who was really never touched by the steroid scandal, so that should be applauded. And it's 600, and he'll end up next season with 3,000 hits. I mean, he's putting up career numbers, one of the greatest right-handed hitters in the history of the game, and it's like it happened in a vacuum. There are a couple reasons for this. One is the Angels aren't a very good team. They play on the West Coast, and third is he's not the best player on his own team. That, of course, is Mike Trout, now on the disabled list. When he left St. Louis, Pujols essentially disappeared from view, and that's unfortunate because he has been a great, great hitter, and I'm not sure when or even if we'll see 600 home runs again. Miggy Carrera is 149 home runs away. Maybe he gets there. Mike Trout is sitting at 184 until this recent injury. He's been incredibly durable. I'd say he has a chance to get there. Maybe you look at guys like Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton. That's going to be a long time, assuming Cabrera doesn't get there, that we see a 600 home run hitter again.
Do you think that the steroid era actually ruined the prestige of hitting a home run?
I think it did, to a certain degree. We became jaded. We all knew 714. We knew what Hank Aaron did, Babe Ruth, and then Hank Aaron. But Barry Bonds ruined it for the rest of us.
Are you at the airport?
I am. We just got there now. I got to run and catch my flight.
Okay. I could sense that. And tell Dave Hodge we'll talk to him soon.
Okay, you talk to Dave Hodge soon.
All right. Cheers, man. There he goes. That was. You see, as soon as he complained about how slow it was, he got there in a hurry. I think his flight is at 6:22. Can you picture Farber running through the airport?
No.
You know, he was pretty good on the basketball court back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Regular pickup basketball player. Yeah. He kind of did to Pat Hickey one night what Steph Curry did to LeBron.
Insight from someone who has actually played the game. Off the Cuff with Chris Knuckles Nyland.
Lebo wants to know, on your next fishing outing, which current hockey player would you like to be one-on-one with on the boat?
I'll just say Shea Weber.
Why?
Because he'll just shut up and fish. Shea Weber.
Shea would just
shut up and fish.
So you wouldn't even have to have a conversation.
Yeah, if I was out there with PK, I'd end up diving in and swimming home. He'd talk my ear off. I just want to fish when I fish.
Off the Cuff with Chris Nyland. Weekdays from 1 to 3.
TSN 690. Angela is throwing a house party, but her Wi-Fi signal is so weak, her guests have started crowding around the modem.
I just have to order a cab.
James, where are you?
Sandra, I'm here in someone's armpit, I hope.
Angela should get home internet by Virgin Mobile with its 6 antenna modem for super strong Wi-Fi coverage throughout her home. Switch now and get unlimited home internet for $50 a month, including modem and installation. Check availability and details at virginmobile.ca/home internet.
Just ahead of his weekly sports business take with us, Paramount Financial Services' Lauren Rubin, there is some more off-ice hockey news. Now, this isn't fact because it's just a competition committee. They have recommended. You know what happens when you recommend? It has to be agreed to and signed off on.
Yeah.
And the people who run the NHL, they seem to move slower than Michael Farber through the airport these days. The NHL-NHLPA competition committee is recommending no timeouts after an icing call for the team that committed the icing.
Yeah.
So that's...
Ding, ding, ding.
Why not? You know, this means more mistakes, tired players out there.
Yeah, and coaches have to be a little more judicious in how they use their timeouts.
That's right. Like it? I mean, not a significant, massive change, but it's...
Again, it's just a recommendation. The NHL, the GMs are likely to say, that's too different. No.
How do you cram 50 years of supply chain, customs compliance, and cargo?